Always encouraging when you read stuff like that, because it pictures this healing, pictures the salvation of God's grace to ruined sinners. So let's look at chapter 9 of Matthew, and starting verse 1. And Christ entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, your sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whither is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now, let's go to verse 32 and read this short section here. This is going to be our text. As they went out, Christ and his disciples, behold, they brought to him, to Christ, a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casts out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, stay there, and let me read to you out of Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. Then was brought unto Christ one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And again in Matthew 15, verse 30 and 31, it says, And great multitudes came unto Christ, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. So in this whole chapter, in chapter 9, the woman with the issue of blood, right before this, we have the two blind men. So the Lord is doing many wonderful works. Now this word dumb literally means speechless. So we don't use this phrase, you know, we've gotten politically correct or whatever. But the scriptures doesn't know anything. The scriptures doesn't change for our sensibility. And I'm thankful it doesn't. If sometimes sometimes people need to be offended. It maybe awaken them. But this word dumb, in the Greek it means speechless. They can't talk. And this guy's possessed of a devil. So he's got his tongue. He can't speak. But let me begin this examination of our text with a quote to set the tone. Adam Clark, born 1762, was a theologian and a scholar. This is what he said about this passage. A person, people, who does not acknowledge their sin to God, who prays not for salvation, who returns no praises for the mercies they are continually receiving, may well be said to be possessed with a dumb demon. Yeah. So your friends, your neighbors, children, all of us born in sin, you know, we didn't always praise God. Matter of fact, we cursed him more than we praised him. But I like what Mr. Clark said. This person, these people who do not acknowledge their sin, pray for salvation, they don't even thank God for the mercy that they're continually receiving. You got food on your table, you got a roof over your head. It may be a one or two bedroom home, but it's still sufficient. You don't give thanks, you don't worry about those things. It could be said of you and of me, we are possessed with the dumb demon, the devil. In this chapter, we look at all the folks that our Lord healed. And yet he was unwearied. He gets right after these two blind men in the previous verses, right after that, he's walking, they bring out. As they went out from healing those two, behold, they brought to him. They brought to him. And in that first section in chapter 9, they brought to him. One who was paralyzed, they brought to him. Yet Christ has another opportunity to honor and glorify his Father and to help those who are in such great need. Now, we aren't possessed with the devil. We are, because the devil is our master. So we hear, well, I'm not possessed. I can speak, I can look, I can talk, I can hear. Physically you can, but spiritually, unless God has saved you, redeemed you, and called you, you're not doing that. When was the last time you prayed? Ask yourself, when was the last time I prayed? When was the last time I gave thanks for, I mean, all of us? Let's just look at this verse at a time. The first thought, verse 32. They went out, and behold, they brought, who's they? Apparently this person's friend, could have been his neighbor, could have been his acquaintance, could have been his fellow worker. This man's case is most serious. He cannot speak for himself as all those who are lost and undone in sins and corruptions. They can't speak for the glory of God. This man can't speak at all. They cannot pray. They cannot praise their Maker. They have not the capacity. This man did not have the capacity or the ability or the desire to speak or to know truth. Couldn't speak. This is what I say. This man simply will not speak because he cannot. We cannot worship God. We will not worship God because we cannot. From birth. Because of Adam's transgression. One man's sin centered into the whole human race. Look how far we have fallen in Adam. When Adam fell, this is how far we fell. The tongue, as James says, it's a little member, but boy, it can set the world on fire. It's like a little rudder, you know, a little bitty rudder steers a ship, just a little bitty rudder. That's our tongue. That's our tongue. This tongue is used more to dishonor, to blaspheme, to discourage. That's just human nature. That's just human nature. Romans chapter 3 says, there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. My thought is, can we, who say we know the truth, whose tongues have been loosed by the grace of God, can we not bring our friends or our loved ones to the Redeemer for cleansing and soul washing? This is what they did. They brought him. Now he could walk, he could see, he could hear, but they brought him. Your friends, neighbors, cohorts, co-workers, they can talk, they can see, they can walk. Why can't we speak for them at the throne of grace? Every night, every day, anytime, anywhere. God's ears are open to us, to those who believe. Like Job did his children. Remember, Job brought sacrifices, and he says, it could be that my children have sinned and gone. So that's intercession. Like those who uncovered in the New Testament, that uncovered the roof, that tore up the roof to let down their friend to have communion with Christ and Christ to do something for them. That's Mark chapter 2, verse starting in verse 4. Can we not cry on the behalf of those who cannot cry for themselves? They are possessed. They are stricken with evil, sin, lust, hatred for God, and hatred for His beloved Son. That's what we are outside of Christ. And the better, the sooner we admit that, the better we'll be. What's the remedy? The remedy is always the same in these stories, this lesson, in this book. Look with me at verse 33. They brought, in verse 32, they went out and they brought to him, to Christ, a dumb man, a speechless man possessed with the devil. And when the devil was cast out, that's what Christ does. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't go for the symptoms. He doesn't go for the second cause. And that's what true gospel preaching does. It gets right to the heart of the issue. We're lost. We're undone. We're born in sin. As Adam was, as David says, I'm shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me, is what David said, a man after God's own heart. Christ must come in sovereign power and sovereign revelation, or we will still be speechless regarding the gift and grace of God. Christ does not deal with the symptoms of our disorder, but He goes right to the source, right to the root of the matter, to the heart and soul. That's our problem. That's our problem. That's always our problem. And then we see is in Luke 11, the stronger one than the devil must defeat and conquer him. And that's what that parable is about. Christ easily overcomes the demon. And now this person can give glory to God in speech. In speech. What about our case personally? Those of us who know Christ spiritually, when we hear the word of truth, the gospel, He uses the gospel of our salvation, sin is acknowledged and owned. He has graced us and granted us life and liberty of soul. We repent, we confess unto Him, we're united by faith to our Savior, and then we publicly show what's happened. That's not salvation. Baptism's not salvation. It just shows what God has done. Actually, that passage that I thought to myself, that'd be a good passage to read. Instead of necessarily talking about Christ in His baptism, dead in sins and baptized, raised the newness of life, that passage in Galatians that Bruce looked at, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. We're crucified with Christ, buried with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live, I'm confessing Christ in baptism. Now I'm going to live. In the flesh, I'm going to live by the faith of the Son of God, who incidentally loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what we do. That's what we do. From henceforth, we walk in newness of life. Now, three areas. When He loosens our tongue, I think He does so in three areas. We speak of God, we speak for God, and we speak to God. Just a simple outline. Now we speak of God. We speak of His perfections. We speak of His purpose of grace, of His ways and His works. We speak of His word of truth. We speak of His attributes and His promise. Not self. Self is not in there. We speak for God. What do I mean by that? Well, in Job 36, you don't have to turn there, Elihu, the only one who was the proper friend of Job, because he told him, "What Job, you're sinning." He says, I'd never seen this. I knew it was kind of here, but as Elihu said in Job 36, verse 2, he says, "I will speak on God's behalf." And don't be ashamed. Don't, it doesn't sound haughty. If you know the truth, He has revealed to you certain things. Speak on His behalf. I'll speak on His behalf. And it's wise to just stay pretty close to what the Bible says and don't go out on our own. Or as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, God did beseech you by us, be ye reconciled to God. We're ambassadors. We're all ambassadors for God. And we will not be speechless any longer. We will justify God regarding his free grace, regarding his electing love, regarding his unalterable purpose. We speak regarding his divine decree, his holy character, and we speak of damnation to all who will not bow to Christ's rightful claims. Proverbs chapter 25, you find it here. Proverbs 25, verse 11 through 13. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. That's what our tongue. It ought to be used for edification, admonition, rebuke sometimes. But as he says, and I believe it's Isaiah, comfort ye my people. There's no comfort in this world. Those of us who have experienced the grace of God, we know that. Listen to us. Listen to those who the Lord brings by. We can now speak and are not dumb concerning him who our souls love and adore. We love him because he first loved us. So this is what the loosened tongue does. It speaks of God. It speaks for God. And thirdly, perhaps the most beautiful result of him loosening our tongues, we speak to God. That's communion. That's communion. Perhaps this is the best result of our God being gracious towards his sheep. The truth of his kind actions towards us will bring us to make frequent visits of communion and talk with him. Anywhere, school, work, job, before you go to sleep, when you wake up, we can talk with him. Why? The devil was cast out, the dumb spake, the speechless spake. What a wonderful, just that right there, what a wonderful thought. We will pour out our hearts before him and often make petitions of him and from him. Prayer, said one, is the lifeblood of the believer in Jesus. And I guess, you know, I'm speaking from a little of experience, the older you get, I think the more you do. Because you realize you can't do what you used to do. And a lot of things you don't want to mess with anymore. Confession, intercession, and prayer is what we now speak. But look at the difference in these two. There's always two results of the preaching of the gospel, the believing the gospel or rejecting the gospel. It's a savor of life unto life or death unto death. Look at within our text here. When the dumb was cast out, verse 33, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying it was never so seen in Israel. But who's the other group? The Pharisees. These are those who are religious without the truth. The Pharisees said, he casts out devils through the prince of devils. Now, who blasphemed? They accused Christ of blaspheming. They blasphemed. A couple of writers, commentators said what they did was very, very close to the unpardonable sin. Accusing the Lord of glory of blasphemy. I do like what one guy said at the end of this section. What did Jesus do? Well, he does answer him one time. If I cast out Beelzebub by the finger, you know, he said a house divided against itself can't stand. But this and other times he got accused, he just walked on. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, didn't even answer them. Now this brings to one of my favorite scriptures. Answer a fool according to his folly, or answer not a fool according to his folly. Sometimes people's words, they don't warrant you to answer them. And they know by the fact that you're not answering that you don't agree and you don't One writer said, I wish I had it memorized. Some things people say are so foolish and stink, it doesn't call for a response. And that's what Christ, he just kept on going. You don't have to answer everybody. Well, I close. We'll look at a few passages of Scripture. I ask myself and I ask us, are we recipients of the grace of God in Christ Jesus? Has he loosened our possessed tongue, which is attached to the heart, which is the soul? May we use it. May we proclaim it. May we announce his grace. And may we be ever grateful and thankful. We who were dumb towards our Creator. Let us not return to our old ways. Let us not return to the flesh, as we heard in Bible class, and the sin and speechlessness. But no, let us open our tongues. Let us loosen our tongues. They have been loosened. May we use them honorably and to the glory of God. Not so much of this world as all this stuff. The world it's fast perishing. But he has given us new life in Christ. Psalms 51 and verse 15, David says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Open my mouth, open my lips to sing your praises. May we take the case before Jehovah God. Take it, lay it before him. Speak to our friends, our neighbors, co-workers, family. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. You don't have to turn around. I'm just going to read these to you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. If we believe this gospel, we can't help but to speak of the truth. There's a lot of religions out here. This place is filled with religion, false religion. They need to hear the truth. Malachi chapter 3. I like this one. This is when we gather together because our tongues have been loosened. We understand the gospel. We understand the grace of God. Malachi 3 verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him. And for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. That's what we do. It's just simple worship. We gather together. We sing because we can. We speak because we can. We preach because we can. We preach the truth. We sing of the truth. We believe the truth. Let us speak one to another because by his grace we can. What a privilege. I mean, what a privilege. And I know I've said this 100 times, but in the Gospels, he's going over the different miracles. The blind see, the dumb speak. You know, the heal, this and that. And in that same verse, he says the gospel is preached. The preaching of the gospel is a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a blessing. May we speak often one to another. And lastly, let's look at this one together. Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35, starting verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon, they shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. 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 Sing, brethren. May we sing of his grace. May we sing of his name. And sing of his glory every time we gather together. That's what we want to do. We don't want to hear about so much stuff that's being talked about. But we want to use these tongues to sing about him and glorify him. Oh, to sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Do we marvel when we see his grace, we hear his grace? Or do we just relegate it to something else? To God be the glory. May we use these tongues for his service and his glory. Matt, would you close this, please?